Well, good morning, everyone. Let's open with a word of prayer this morning. Well, Father, what an honor it is to be able to gather together and to bow down to you and to open your word. And Lord, there is so much in this psalm for us. Help us to receive it, help us to hear it, and then help us to do it. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, moving through the psalms this morning in Psalm 144, and this is a psalm of David, very Davidic in its structure, and everybody would agree this is a Psalm of David. He states it in the beginning, a Psalm of David. And my Bible entitles it a song to the Lord who preserves and prospers his people. I thought we would just read it first, 15 verses, and then go through it just a little bit to get a little fuller understanding of it. Verse 1, blessed be the Lord my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle, my loving kindness and my fortress, my high tower and my deliverer, my shield and the one in whom I take refuge, who subdues my people under me. Lord, what is man that you take knowledge of him, and the son of man that you are mindful of him? Man is like a breath. His days are like a shadow. Bow down your heavens, O Lord, and come down. Touch the mountains, and they shall smoke. Flash forth lightning and scatter them. Shoot out your arrows and destroy them. Stretch out your hand from above. Rescue me and deliver me out of great waters, from the hand of foreigners, whose mouth speaks lying words, and whose right hand is a right hand of falsehood. I will sing a new song to you, O God. On a harp of 10 strings, I will sing praises to you, the one who gives salvation to kings, who delivers David his servant from the deadly sword. Rescue me and deliver me from the hand of foreigners, whose mouth speaks lying words, and whose right hand is a right hand of falsehood, that our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth, that our daughters may be as pillars sculptured in palace style, that our barns may be full, supplying all kinds of produce, that our sheep may bring forth thousands and 10,000s in our fields, that our oxen may be well laden, that there be no breaking in or going out, that there be no outcry in our streets. Happy are the people who are in such a state. Happy are the people whose God is the Lord. Wow. So we have this great prayer, really, that we have in Psalm 144. We will have in the last five Psalms, 145, 146, 144, maybe six Psalms, 145 through 150, pretty much praise psalm. But this is a song or prayer. David begins by saying, blessed. Remember, we've had many Psalms talking about blessed. And here it's, blessed be the Lord, my rock, my rock. In the Hebrew, that rock stands for something solid and immovable, strong. And of course, that's who our Lord is he not? We can say here, as David starts this, when the heart is in a right state, it must praise God. It cannot be restrained. It just utters and leaps forth as water forcing their way from a living spring, just bubbling. With all his strength, God blesses the God of his strength, and goes ahead to thank him who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle. If we have strength, we are not, are we not much better if we have the knowledge or the wisdom to use it in the right way, having the skill given to us, and that's what he's asking for. Untrained force is often an injury to the man who possesses it, and it could even become a danger to those who are round about him. And so David blesses the Lord as much for teaching as for strength. In verse 2, he says, "My loving kindness and my fortress, my high tower and my deliverer, my shield and the one in whom I take refuge, who subdues my people under me." Just think of those terms, how close he is to God to be able to say, "my loving kindness," to say, "my fortress," to say, "my high tower and my deliverer," to say, "my shield and the one of whom I take refuge, who subdues my people under me." David sees his God, our God, Jehovah, as that place of total and complete protection. God is a sanctuary for his people. The fortress, the high tower, my shield, the one in whom I trust. Verse 3, "Lord, what is man that you take knowledge of him, or the son of man that you are mindful of him?" Now, this is a very familiar question that we have. It's given to us in Psalm 8, verse 4. It's Job 7, verse 17. And we have it in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 6. "Lord, what is man that you take knowledge of him, or the son of man that you are mindful of him?" So he's talking really about Adam. What is Adam that you take knowledge of him, or the son of Adam that you are mindful of him? So Adam and his children are his offspring. And what is man that you take knowledge of him, that you are mindful of him? And if you're like me, I have often wondered that, because why would a nothing and nobody like me be the recipient or be something that would cause or have the Lord to take knowledge of me and be mindful of me? How wonderful that is. You know, I'm just a short-lived man in this body, but created in his image, we know we are eternal in our soul and spirit. And he said, if you leave, Jesus said, "Whoever lives and believes in me shall never die." So the God who controls and governs the universe has knowledge of me. Praise God. He takes thought of me. And that just always amazes me and still does. Verse 4, "Man is like a breath, his days like a passing shadow." Oh, how fast our life goes. I'm old, and it just seems like yesterday I was a child. But man is like a breath, his days are like a passing shadow. We're here just for a moment, like the shadow of a sundial, a shadow that passes away as the hours pass by. Yet God places such value and such importance upon you and upon me. He takes account of us, does he not? He thinks about you. He has knowledge of you. And now we have the prayer. Verse 5, "Bow down your heavens, O Lord, and come down, touch the mountains, and they shall smoke." So we see here in verse 5, a repeat of what we had in Psalm 18, verse 9, also in Isaiah 64, verse 1, and in Psalm 104, verse 32 is also repeated in this verse here. "Bow down," or "rend your heavens," in Isaiah. "Bow down your heavens, O Lord, and come down. Touch the mountains, and they shall smoke. Flash forth lightning and scatter them." So we remember when God first met Israel, basically, or talked to Israel there in the wilderness march on Mount Horeb or Mount Sinai. We read in Exodus 19, verse 18, "Now Mount Sinai was completely in smoke because the Lord descended upon it in fire. Its smoke ascended like the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mountain quaked greatly." Wow. So the prayer is, "Come down from heaven." Well, that prayer is certainly answered 2,000 years ago, wasn't it? When Jesus Christ came as a man to the earth. And now he speaks to us, not through smoke and earthquake and fear, but through a relationship that is available to us because of what he has done. Verse 6, flash forth lightning and scatter them. That means his enemies. Scatter his enemies. Shoot out your arrow and destroy them. Stretch out your hand from above. Now here's the theme. Rescue me and deliver me. That will be repeated in verse 11. Rescue me and deliver me. So that's kind of the prayer here. David crying out, Lord, rescue me. Lord, deliver me. And he says, out of great waters. And then he says, from the hand of foreigners. From the hand of foreigners. And I like to think of that from the definition as in context here would be God's enemies. The foreigners do not know God, what he was speaking about here. From the hand of foreigners, God's enemies. You know, he's probably written at a time when he was fighting against the Philistines or the Edomites or the Ammonites. They were aliens around them. They did not know the Lord. And the Israelites were to wipe them out at the time of Joshua because of their wickedness beyond recovering. But I think about ourselves. We have enemies, don't we? And we really, because we're his, we God's enemies, the ones who hate God. Just look around now in our nation, how the God haters are coming to the surface in anti-Semitism and on the campuses and so forth. And they're all basically God haters. And look at this election we have coming up this year in 2024. And it is more polarized to me for evil on one hand and godliness, at least part godliness, some godliness on the other hand. And the world seems to love evil. Man seems to love evil. So Satan's having a field, is he not? Because we have turned our back on him in this land. But here David is praying, rescue me and deliver me out of great waters from the hand of the foreigners. And now identifying him further, whose mouth speaks lying words and whose right hand is a right hand of falsehood. Oh, it's impossible to overstate how many lies we're seeing being given by politicians and so forth who are spreading their evil words. Here that it describes them, whose mouth speaks lying words and whose right hand is a right hand of falsehood. Not even then, they would have the practice, apparently, of raising your right hand to swear. But these guys were such scoundrels, they'd raise their right hand, and then they would swear, but they would be lying through their teeth. Verse 9, this is a great one. I will sing a new song to you, O God, on the harp of 10 strings. I will sing praises to you. Wow. So what is a new song? Well, we have some identification of that in Psalm 96, verses 1 through 4. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Proclaim the good news of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his wonders among all peoples. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. Wow. So that's the new song. That's the gospel message, is it not? I sing a new song to you, O God. Now, on a harp of 10 strings. The harp of 10 strings, that really was the best instrument they had. I think it probably was invented or put together by David. So he's praising God, singing a new song on the best instrument that there is, on a harp of 10 strings. I will sing praises to you. In verse 10, to the one who gives salvation to kings, wow, who delivers David, his servant, from the deadly sword. So this is this new song, I think, that I'm singing to you, O God, to the one who gives salvation to the king. So front and parcel there is salvation. Isn't that the greatest gift? What a gift that is, that gift of that new song of salvation. Who delivers David, his servant, from the deadly sword. So he's giving God due credit and praying and thanking he is the one who delivers him from the deadly sword. He traces his escape from death to the delivering hand of God. Now he repeats this refrain again in verse 11, saying what he did back in verse 7, rescue me and deliver me from the hand of the foreigners, repeating, whose mouth speaks lying words and whose right hand is a right hand of falsehood. He would not strike hands with those who carried a lie in their right hand. He would quit at once if possible. Those who are surrounded by such wicked serpents know how not to deal with them. And the only available method seems to be prayer to God for a riddance and deliverance. So what do we do today with all the wickedness around us? Well, we've got it given to us in 2 Chronicles 7:14, don't we? If you, my people, would what? Humble yourself, pray to me. Bow down and pray to me and turn from your wicked ways. I will heal your land. So that's what we need to be doing, is it not? So we have now in the next verse, 12, that our sons. So here is this request. Rescue me and deliver me from the hand of the foreigners. Why? Well, we've got seven that's in here. There's a reason. Verse 12, that our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth. Yes, with your help, may our sons grow up. That our daughters may be as pillars sculptured in palace style. Think of a cornerstone, a pillar, a cornerstone, but beautiful, sculptured in a palace style. And verse 13, that what? Our barns may be full, supplying all kinds of produce. So praying for prospering the production of food here. And that was their main source of income, was the production of agriculture. That our sheep may bring forth thousands and ten thousands in our field. So you wanted to have many sheep born. You didn't want to have a barren and them dying out. They may bring forth thousands and ten thousands in our field. Wow, that's a lot of sheep, isn't it? Supplying all kinds of produce is the prayer. A teeming increase, so to speak. Now the oxen, verse 14, that our oxen may be well laden. Now we're not really sure what well laden refers to. It's kind of, some think it just means because they're going to be carrying a lot of weight on them. It could be, or it may mean they're going to be pulling a heavy weight on carts. Or others see that as a sign of their productivity in giving birth to many, and they would be going around heavy laden with child, or very pregnant, in other words. That our oxen may be well laden, and then the next part of that is that, the next request, is that there be no breaking in or going out, that there be no outcry in our streets. So asking for freedom from lawlessness, freedom from fear, and freedom from crowds and chaos, that there be no outcry in our streets, no riots, no fainting for poverty, no clamor for rights denied, and so forth. And now the last verse, the result of all of this is what? If these seven things are answered, Lord, and you are the God, then we read, happy are the people who are in such a state. I really think David, as the king, would have been wanting this to be true for the people under his reign. He loved his people. He loved Israel. He did not hate them and trying to take advantage of them and rip them off in any way. So the people then, under these conditions, he writes, happy are the people who are in such a state. Happy are the people. This is the main thing now. Happy are the people whose God is the Lord. Yes. Happy are the people whom Jehovah, their God, is. Those people will be blessed of God. And our lives as such will be a blessing to him. So what a beautiful prayer. And we just thank him for it. Father, we thank you for this glorious prayer. Lord, we thank you for giving us your word and communicating with us. We thank you for the opportunity to be able to come to you in prayer and cry out to you. Full access has been gained by what you have done for us, Lord, on the cross and the power of the resurrection from the dead, victorious over sin and death. So here we are this morning again with our 40, 45 minutes of time together that we can bring supplications and intercessions to you, and maybe some praises as well. Oh, Holy Spirit, would you lead us and guide us in this time of prayer? So let's pray. Well, we come to the end of the hour today, and let's sing this song together. Let's stand and sing, if we may. And it just is a prayer entitled, Call Upon the Lord. That is what we have been looking at here from David. And let's sing this together. We need no other hiding place. Our hope is safe within your name. This we know, this we know. Let's sing together.
The Lord bless you.
Father, we thank you for rescuing us, for delivering us, for for hearing our prayer. We thank you for eternal life, which you have given each of your children. May our lives bless you today. Go before us, and may our hearts be willing and available for you. In Jesus' name, amen.